I love a good meal. Food is not only a practical necessity for sustenance, it's pleasurable. We get to enjoy the flavors, the textures, the smell, and the beauty of good food. However, life gets busy and we don't always give proper attention to what we eat. Sometimes we might be so busy that we skip a meal, or might rush through our meals without really savoring the food. Perhaps we eat while watching TV, barely paying attention to what we're putting in our mouths. It's a totally different thing to sit at a table among good company and slowly enjoy a meal over an extended evening. When we slow down and pay attention to what we eat, we have a fuller experience of delight than when we just routinely fill our stomachs with fuel. What am I getting at? Well, meditating on Scripture is like savoring food. It requires that we slow down and pay attention. Reading the Bible can be nourishing and pleasurable, enjoyable, delightful. But we need to make time to savor Scripture. Likely not everyone here reads the Bible. Some of you have not yet tasted the Word of God. You're missing out on a feast that you're invited to. Others of you might read the Bible often, but perhaps you don't slow down to savor it. You don't meditate on what God is saying to you through the text. Maybe you rush through it sometimes. Psalm 119, verse 103 says, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." As we read sections of this psalm, I encourage you to pay attention to this theme of joy that runs throughout. Psalm 119 is quite lengthy. It's 22 stanzas and 176 verses, so we will condense it by reading only selected verses. The text will be on the screen. Please listen attentively to the reading of Holy Scripture. "Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. I rejoice in following your statutes, as one rejoices in great riches. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. Your statutes are my delight. They are my counselors. Cause me to understand the way of your precepts, that I may meditate on your wonderful deeds. I run the path of your commands, for you have broadened my understanding. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts. Teach me knowledge and good judgment, for I trust your commands. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. Direct my footsteps according to your word. Let no sin rule over me. Let me live that I may praise you, and may your laws sustain me." Before exploring this passage of Scripture, let's pray. God, we thank you for this psalm, which testifies to how delightful it can be to meditate on Scripture. Even now, we ask that you fill our hearts with joy as we reflect on this passage. Amen. We are currently in a sermon series called Deeper, where we are encouraged to explore ways that we can go deeper in our relationship with God. As a part of your rhythm of life, one of the most influential practices that can help you go deeper in your relationship with God is meditating on Scripture. The Bible is not only an historical ancient artifact, it is the living word of God. The Bible is the primary way that God speaks to us. And as we slow down to meditate on Scripture, to see how God will reveal himself to us, to see how he will continue to speak through these ancient texts. As we meditate on this and ponder it, God transforms us. Biblical meditation leads to spiritual transformation. A biblical approach to meditation is different from other forms of meditation. It's not about trying to empty your mind, but allowing your mind to be filled and transformed with Scripture. The Hebrew word haggah, that gets translated as meditate, means to roar, to growl, to speak, to imagine. As you can see, it's active, it's not passive. To get back to this food metaphor, as we meditate on Scripture, we're basically chewing and digesting what we're reading. It's like how a dog gnaws away on a bone. We gnaw away at the biblical text. Savoring Scripture is meditating on it. Now, before exploring this any further, I need to address a couple things. Some of you may have never opened the Bible before. Perhaps you were invited here by a friend or a loved one, or maybe you took the initiative to come because you're interested in Jesus or the Christian faith. We're glad you're here. But if you've never opened the Bible before, I encourage you to try reading it. Why not experiment and see if you discover something worthwhile in the Bible? Others of you may have tried reading the Bible lots of times, but you find it boring or hard to understand, if you're honest. That's an unfortunately common experience. And if that's you, I encourage you to access some resources on learning how to understand the Bible more. There's lots of resources out there, and I will mention a couple at the end of the sermon. Whether you've never opened the Bible before or you read it almost every day, I'm convinced that meditating on Scripture can transform your life. Let's look at three features of transformation through meditating on Scripture: joy, wisdom, and guidance. First, meditating on Scripture brings joy. We all want to be joyful. When I was in a Toastmasters club, a friend of mine there gave an impromptu speech about happiness, and he went so far as to say that happiness is the meaning of life. He got a lot of smiles and nods from the audience. I think it's a pretty common feature of the general public, this high goal of the pursuit of happiness. People want to be happy. But isn't it unrealistic to be happy all the time? Doesn't constant happiness require a denial of our own challenges or apathy towards the suffering of others? If we're always cheerful, we're either out of touch with reality or not being authentic about how we are really doing. In the book, The Voice of Jesus, Gordon Smith wrote, "When there is loss or reason for fear, anger, or mourning, we will respond accordingly." So he means it's appropriate to get angry and be afraid sometimes. These are natural emotional responses to reality. Let's go on. But we will not camp there, emotionally, that is. We will come back to an emotional center of joy, even though what brings us joy is not immediately present. And we do so because we have faith, and we know that one day all will be well. We can live with good cheer and with lighthearted happiness even when we are fully conscious of the brokenness of our world and even in the midst of the multiple ways this brokenness intersects our own lives. So what he's saying here is that we don't pretend to be happy when we're really not. And we don't completely shelter ourselves from the world and all the suffering of others. We experience the full range of human emotion, and yet our joy cannot be taken from us by any circumstances. What we long for is not superficial happiness. We long for a deep joy that permeates our lives, a joy that withstands whatever challenges we face. Where do you find this kind of joy? In my life and in the lives of many people I know, this kind of joy has been the result of transformation through time with God and Scripture. Psalm 119 says, I rejoice in following your statutes. I delight in your decrees. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. One of my former biblical studies professors was a guy named Rick Watts. He's not only a brilliant scholar, but also someone with an authentic and passionate faith. He simply exudes joy as he opens the Bible. Sometimes he would be in the middle of a lecture and he would just burst with joy as he's teaching about scripture and say, this is great stuff. I just love Jesus. I love him. Not everybody gets this excited and passionate about the Bible. But if you have no joy in reading scripture, it might be that you simply need help understanding it more. And you're not in this alone. We are a community, and you can ask somebody to help you better understand the Bible. Someone I know went a long time without reading much scripture, but then she had a renewed desire for it, and she knew she needed help, so she asked a friend to read the Bible with her. They would meet up regularly, read some scripture and discuss it. And I observed a new passion and joy in her as a result of reading scripture with a friend. So I encourage you to try that. I experience joy as I meditate on scripture. Sometimes I wake up feeling tired or stressed, but then I meditate on scripture and this changes me. I find a quiet place. I spend some time in silence to enter a posture of attentiveness. I say a short prayer asking God to speak to me through the text. And then I'll read through a short text of scripture. Sometimes I'll read this passage multiple times. I try to read slowly to pay close attention. And I look to see if something jumps off the page at me. I try to notice if something grabs my attention. And sometimes what I read in scripture fits with my current situation in an uncanny way. Of course, the scripture was written to an original audience with an intended meaning, and I do my best to not make the Bible say something it doesn't mean. But God does speak to me through the Bible. Sometimes it is very timely with my present situation, and other times it speaks to my past, or maybe to something I'll experience in the future. But regardless, as I slow down and pay attention and meditate on what God is saying to me, more often than not, something stands out that I feel invited to savor, to reflect on. One time I was reading Psalm 8, and the line that jumped off the page at me was, "From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise." I felt invited to meditate on this. And as I was reflecting on it, I felt convicted about how often I get annoyed or frustrated with my kids, especially regarding all the noise. There's rarely any silence in our home or in our car, and this can make it difficult to have adult conversations and to rest our minds at the end of a long day. And I can have a bad attitude about this. So I sensed God gently confronting me as this line caught my eye, "From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise." And as I meditated on this, I wrote a prayer in my journal. "Lord, help me to hear every song Indy sings, every hi dad, every question, every babble from Maria, maybe even every cry, as the praise of children and infants. Lord, these little lives bring glory to you, O Lord of life." God transformed my heart as I meditated on this scripture. He took my overwhelmed and exhausted and restless soul and filled me with new joy. When I spend time meditating on scripture and sensing God speaking to me through the text, I'm often filled with joy. As I realize that God is with me, that God loves me, and that God is actively involved in my life, I feel lighter and more fully alive. I feel a deep and enduring joy. And this is not like the kind of exciting joy you experience when you first start dating someone and everything's new and unfamiliar. It's more like spending time with someone you are completely comfortable with, a close friend, a spouse, a loved one, someone who you can enjoy spending time with even in silence. And this comforting presence of our loving God brings joy. And I hope you can experience this if you haven't yet. If you begin to regularly meditate on Scripture, you open yourself up to being transformed into a joyful person in the presence of God. Another way God transforms us through meditating on Scripture is by bringing us wisdom. Just as all of us want to be joyful, we also all want to be wise. Nobody wants to be foolish. It would be a shame if we never learn from our mistakes, if we never gain insight from experience, and if we never benefit from good sources of wisdom. Ideally, the older we get, the wiser we become. Our gray hair is meant to be a crown of wisdom. At least that's what I keep telling myself as I keep finding not only more gray hairs on my head, but gray whiskers on my face. Hopefully, I'm getting wiser as I grow grayer. Now, there's a significant difference between being wise and being smart. We live in the era of the internet with endless information at our fingertips. Like never before, we have instant access to learning. And this is a good thing for the most part. Fostering intelligence is a gift. But there's a difference between being smart and being wise. Someone can have a PhD and still make very poor decisions throughout their life. Wisdom is the capacity to make good decisions. Wise choices are not only about obtaining the right information, but about having a transformed heart, being someone who wants to live with integrity, to live in the truth. What's your source of wisdom? Well, there are many other means of gaining wisdom, such as good books, mentors, and reflecting on personal experience. When we meditate on Scripture, we seek wisdom from God himself. Meditating on Scripture is a practice in which we humble ourselves before the living God. We recognize that we still need to grow in wisdom, so we fill our minds with truth that transforms us. I found it helpful to sit in silence with open hands as a posture of humble receptivity before I begin to read Scripture. And as I meditate on Scripture, I'm not seeking to master information, but to be mastered by the truth, to live in light of the Word of God. Psalm 119 says, "Cause me to understand the way of your precepts. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Teach me knowledge and good judgment." Meditating on Scripture leads to wisdom because it challenges us. It broadens our understanding. It confronts our tendency to focus on ourselves. It turns our eyes away from a short-sighted selfishness towards a larger vision for life. During Stephen Covey's research for 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, he discovered that the lives of supposedly successful people were actually a mess a lot of the time. They were scrambling up the ladder of life, not realizing where it was taking them. And he said, "If our ladder is not leaning against the right wall, every step we take just gets us the wrong place faster." Meditating on Scripture helps us lean our ladder on the right wall. As we read Scripture, God shows us what is good. He teaches us good judgment. And sometimes wisdom is countercultural. For example, there's all kinds of cultural pressures to achieve certain things within an expected timeline. When I was studying, I felt this great pressure to graduate and start a career by a certain age. And I've heard many others share the same kind of pressure. But when I was about halfway through my degree, I wondered if maybe I should slow down. life didn't seem to be working so well for me as I was rushing through my studies and cramming so much into my days. And one day, God gave me insight into my situation as I meditated on Scripture. I read Philippians 4, 6 to 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now, this text doesn't directly address the issue of educational timelines. But as I meditated on it, I realized that I was rushing through my studies out of anxiety. I was anxious to graduate and start a career by a certain age because of cultural pressures. God helped me realize that this was arbitrary. Why does it matter what age I am when I graduate? There was no rush. God gave me wisdom to slow down, to soak in my learning, to get the most out of this opportunity to study. I wanted my education to shape the rest of my life, and if I rushed through it, I wouldn't have the kind of depth of learning I longed for. Slowing down also made space for other areas of life, like relationships. God gave me peace about this decision, and I never once regretted delaying my graduation. I know others who have gained wisdom about speech, money, relationships, and other areas of life as they meditated on Scripture. Richard Foster wrote that often meditation will yield insights that are deeply practical, almost mundane. Instruction will come on how to relate to your wife or husband, or how to deal with this sensitive problem or that business situation. It is common to be given guidance in dealing with ordinary human problems. The Bible is rich with wisdom. If wisdom is an area you seek to grow in, you might want to begin with the biblical book of Proverbs. Most of that book consists of short wisdom sayings that are meant to be taken one at a time for meditation. The rest of the Bible can teach wisdom too, but sometimes less directly. The Bible's full of stories of real people who sometimes make very bad decisions. We're not always meant to imitate the lives of people in the Bible. Sometimes we're meant to learn from their mistakes. Regardless of whether we open the Proverbs, a narrative, or some other genre of Scripture, when we meditate on the Word of God, we humble ourselves before Him. We acknowledge that we still have a lot to learn. We turn to the infinitely wise God and seek His counsel. So the posture we take as we meditate on Scripture is one of openness. We don't come having all the answers. Even if we read a familiar passage, we don't presume to know it already with a been there, done that attitude. We come as students, sitting at the feet of our teacher. We come ready to learn whatever the Lord wants to teach us. And as we meditate on Scripture with this receptive posture, God slowly transforms us into wise people. Finally, God transforms us through meditating on Scripture by bringing guidance. The Bible often uses the imagery of paths and walking to illustrate this idea of guidance. This comes up multiple times in Psalm 119. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. I run the path of your commands. Direct me in the path of your commands. I will walk about in freedom. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. Direct my footsteps according to your word. Life is a journey, and we are all pilgrims along the way. There are many different paths we could take, but we're all headed somewhere. It takes humility to recognize that we don't have enough foresight to always know the way we should go. Whenever you go camping, it's important to bring a flashlight. Out in the woods, it gets dark at night, and you might not even be able to see your hand in front of your face. If you need to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, you won't be able to find your way without a flashlight. You'd be wandering around in the dark, you might trip or get lost, but a flashlight illuminates your path. It gives enough light for you to take some steps and give a general idea of the way you should go. The Bible is our flashlight. When we meditate on it and reflect on what God is saying to us about our lives through the passage we are reading, we gain insight about steps we should take. Now, this doesn't mean that the Bible is a self-help book or a how-to guide. It doesn't directly address every situation we face. But regular meditation on Scripture shapes the kind of people we become and affects the kinds of decisions we make. It impacts all our little choices throughout our days and hopefully our big decisions throughout life. And even though Scripture doesn't always speak to our current situation, many people have told me about times when God has given timely guidance through their Bible reading. A woman named Jerry told me about one of the first times she sensed God leading her through Scripture when she was a new Christian. She was in high school at the time, and a close friend of hers started saying some bad things about her behind her back. When she found out about this gossip, she was really upset and didn't know what to do. She asked some friends for some advice, and one said, "You should spread some other rumors to get back at this girl." Jerry felt conflicted. And later she opened her Bible and read this passage for the first time. "You have heard that it was said, 'Love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." At that time, Jerry had never heard or read that verse before, and she sensed that God was speaking directly to her when she didn't know what to do. Jerry chose to forgive her friend, even if her friend never felt sorry or apologized. And after she chose to forgive her friend, she felt a great deal of peace and freedom. And there was an excitement in her heart that she could hear God's voice through Scripture. God directs our footsteps through Scripture. Our lives are transformed from trying to find our own way in the dark to following the illuminated path before us. There may even be times when God guides you to make a difficult decision. Times when God leads you down a path you would rather not go, if you're honest. A path that requires courage and trust. When John had just finished his teaching practicum, he found it stressful to look for work. But he prayed that God would provide. Then a friend told him about a job opening. It was the ideal position. The school was close to his home, and the students there had a reputation for being respectful, hardworking, and kind. John was invited to visit the school and meet with the head of the department, and he was told that the job would open in late August and that he had a really good chance of having the job if he wanted it. So he waited in joyful anticipation for the job to open. During the season, John had been reading the Bible more, and at the time he was reading Isaiah. And he kept noticing this theme about God urging his people to look after the widows, foreigners, and orphans. He felt like God was drawing his attention towards this, but he didn't have any idea what it had to do with his own life. Later, a friend from a different school told him about another job opening. At face value, this was a worse school. The students there had a reputation for being apathetic, for skipping class and talking back to their teachers. The job was more work, and the school was farther to get to. But out of professional courtesy, John accepted an invitation to visit the school. While he was there, he was unimpressed that even the classroom was smaller than at the other school. While he was there, he bumped into another teacher who worked there, and he asked this teacher what the kids are like at the school. And this teacher said, "There's actually a lot of new immigrants. And there's a lot of these kids, they're being raised by single parents. They don't often see their parents much because their parents are always working." This brought to mind what he'd been reading about in Isaiah. New immigrants sounds like foreigners. Kids raised by a single parent that don't even get to see their parents much sounds kind of like an orphan. he pondered this. Long story short, through a series of events, John discerned that God was leading him to apply for the position at this school, even though he much preferred the other school. He was offered the job, and he accepted it because he discerned that it was God's will based on the scripture he'd been meditating on and the circumstances that coincided with this. However, in his first year, John's work was really difficult. And there were nights where he wondered if he misheard what God said to him. There's times he felt resentful and wished he was working at the other school because it's just so hard. But John's in his third year now, and he has no intention of leaving. His work has become rewarding. He's found that his colleagues are supportive, and he has had many meaningful interactions with students who represent the orphan and foreigner that he read about in Isaiah. Through his meditation on scripture, God guided John and gave him courage to follow this more difficult path. Are you facing a decision in life? Is there possibly a more difficult path before you? Do you need courage and trust to take steps forward? I encourage you to meditate on scripture and see what God says to you. His word is a lamp to our feet and a light on our path. Some of you might be thinking, I want to read the Bible more. I just find it too difficult to understand. That's okay. It's true that some things in the Bible are hard to understand. Not everything. I think a lot of it is easily understandable, but some of it is incredibly difficult to understand because of challenges of culture, translation, history, context, content. There's all kinds of stuff like that, right? So there's two resources that I want to recommend that can help with this. The first is BibleProject.com. They have tons of short illustrated videos that help you understand the Bible more. You could read, or you could watch a 5-minute video on your phone and then pull out your Bible and read and meditate on some scripture. Your learning and meditating could be done in 20 to 30 minutes combined. This is some time investment, but it's manageable. Many people have told me how helpful Bible Project has been for them. A second resource is the book, How to Read the Bible for All It's Worth. This was written by two biblical scholars who wanted to make the Bible more accessible to the average person. And thousands of people have read this and been able to better understand and enjoy scripture. In addition to these two resources, you can talk to friends and pastors about questions you have about the Bible. We would love to help you understand it more and to enable you to enjoy meditating on scripture. Not just to do it out of a sense of duty, but to enjoy it. Whenever you open the Bible, I hope you will savor scripture. Taste God's words that are sweeter than honey. Rejoice and delight in God's presence as he speaks to you. Seek wisdom and guidance from God as you meditate on scripture. As we turn to God in scripture, he transforms us. As we engage in biblical meditation, we experience spiritual transformation. A rhythm of life that includes meditating on scripture will deepen your relationship with God. I invite you to pray with me. God, you have spoken to your people long ago, and you continue to speak to us today. Help us to listen to you as we open the Bible. Give us a humble posture to seek wisdom from you. Guide us through your word, which is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Fill us with a new hunger so that we long to savor scripture. Bring us deeper in our relationship with you and continue to transform us through biblical meditation. Amen.